I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we coming from a basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown in a wild top in the charts.
Thank you for downloading the podcast, Theanos. Now here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never gonna get without the circus. Cause I'm chilling in the background, knowing that I'm gonna give it.
Welcome to another episode of the podcast, Theanos. I'm Jordan Hall, and I'm joined, as always, by a man whose bracket is already busted. It's Eric Wayne. Eric, what's going on, buddy?
We haven't even played a game yet, and my bracket's busted?
Yes.
That doesn't seem fair at all.
Now, I see
There'll be plenty of time. There will be plenty of time for my bracket to suck.
Now, I see that your picks are very correct this year, as opposed to last year, when I think they were only kind of correct. That was a wise move to go that direction.
Yes, I labeled my bracket Eric's very correct picks, I think is what I labeled it.
When I saw that, I actually went to name mine Jordan's even more correct picks, but there was a character limit. So
stuff it all.
Yeah. Who's your upset special? Come to you for the college basketball hot takes.
Do you know how many full college basketball games I've watched this year?
Three.
Zero. None. I've watched no college basketball games. Which is surprising considering there are approximately 150,000 college basketball games every season. Did you know that?
Yes.
Yep. Always college basketball. I like Gonzaga.
Yeah, fair enough.
They're in the tournament, right? I think yes. They are.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So we have a bracket group on ESPN. You know that. I'm telling the listeners. I'll tweet out a link of it, I'm sure. But if you go to like the ESPN Tournament Challenge homepage and just search the groups for the podcast, Yanos, you'll find it. And you'll play against me and Eric and other listeners for a chance to win an amazing prize.
What is it?
What do you think it is?
Something amazing.
No, I'm just kidding. There is no prize. Pride, respect, admiration.
If you win the bracket, I will send you 10 Detroit Tigers baseball cards of my choosing.
Somebody's going to take you up on that.
Yeah, they deserved it.
So obviously it's been 2 weeks since we last recorded, but in that time I had an amazing life-changing experience. We were down in Lakeland watching the Tigers and the Marlins. Middle innings, I turn around, and who do I see back, you know, kind of down towards the concourse, but the old Skip himself, Jim Leland.
Oh, Skip. How is Skip today?
Skip was good. I obviously went over quick, waited my turn, because there was actually a little bit of a line. I don't know that he had necessarily wanted there to be a line that developed, but I got a picture with him. And I was looking at the picture again today, and it's pretty clear that he was not as excited to see me as I was to see him.
Well, that's kind of the nature of it, isn't it?
Yeah, and also he doesn't exactly have a smile on his face most of the time.
It's an unequal relationship, I would say.
But I think
who he is and have probably muttered disparaging names about him under your breath. And he has no idea who you are, nor does he probably care.
He definitely does not. But. I think the big thing that stands out about Leland to me is he's a very well-dressed man. Like, I've seen him down in spring training a couple times. He always is looking fresh. Like, it's
He's got that white goatee on.
Yeah, when you see him on TV, like in a Tigers uniform, you wouldn't necessarily think, "Oh, that dude's got it figured out," but he kind of does.
Yeah, I think Pat's coaching him up.
Yeah, that's probably true.
He's Pat's youthful and hip.
I actually have a picture with Pat from spring training. Like, I don't know, would that be 8-10 years ago, something like that?
Maybe.
And he smelled good. Somebody asked me, "What did he smell like?" Because he actually smelled good. That actually maybe surprised me even more than that he looked good.
You should be putting out a fragrance, like? You know, "Aw Day Manager" or something like that. Yeah. You know,
he didn't smell like cigs, which is kind of the big thing I was expecting.
I would have too.
But anyway, I was looking at the picture, like I said, and I apparently put my arm around him, which apparently in the moment I was feeling pretty comfortable. Which
seems pretty intimate.
Looking back, maybe I wouldn't have done that.
Did you cop a feel, you know, just like give it the little squeeze, maybe a little gentle caressing of the circle? Of the goatee. Is that what you were doing?
Yeah, definitely.
It's a little creepy, y'all.
Next time I'll rub the goatee. Anyway, brings us to this week's leadoff question. Who from the Tigers would you most like a picture with?
You sent this, and I've kind of been thinking about it, and I don't run out and get pictures with people. Like, it just seems like a little, not to criticize your approach, but it just seems like a little bit of a violation of somebody's space and privacy.
I think you're just from the old generation. Our generation is all about taking pictures with people.
Get the selfie. Well, since you asked the question, I would get it with someone who I feel has a lot of time on their hands, you know, who isn't busy, and especially not busy taking photos with other people, you know, and somebody who might appreciate being appreciated, you know, that we could exchange a few words and say, you know, I could come up with some obscure reference about them and say, you know, "Oh, I really appreciated your performance back in, you know, some obscure thing," and then they'd be really impressed.
You could appreciate, say, the way they pointed at fly balls. Is that where this is going?
Yeah, maybe. So I don't know. Artie Lewicki, Johnny Barbato, I don't know. The real answer is Stumpf, because I have a weakness in my heart for slightly stocky left-handers.
Goateed left-handers, yeah.
It's a weakness. It's a vulnerability in my soul.
I don't think it's a weakness. I think you need to embrace that. That's a strength. You have more love in your heart for the not naturally gifted.
What? Come on. That's the ideal male body, whether you like it or not. Who are you getting it with, Hall?
So I was actually thinking, I actually have more pictures with Tigers World people than I might have thought. I have Leland, obviously. A couple of years ago, I got one with Blaine, which that was a big highlight for me. Yep. Hessman and Rod, I think all three the same day. And you, of course, which was probably the top one on my list. But some ones I would enjoy, obviously Verlander, you know, he's a classic. Donnie, you know, if that were to happen, I clearly would love that. I'd love to get a pick, or maybe just take some time to talk a little bit with Dan Dickerson. Really love Dan, but I think you know who has to be at the top of my list. And that, Who's of course, is Johnny.
Yeah, Johnny.
I feel like that'd be good.
I'm taking you. I'm trying to show you this. I don't know if you can see it, but I have two pictures on my wall. I have my picture with Phil.
Obviously.
We're not posing. We're just kind of hanging out. And then I'm actually posing here with one guy, and it is Eat 'em Up Tigers guy.
Oh, that's a good one.
Eat 'em Up. That's the only. Was the only picture on my wall.
That's a real good one. Definitely. R.I.P. Eat 'em Up Tigers. Eat 'em Up guy.
So, you know, Johnny Cain, Eat 'em Up Tigers guy, you know, rough equivalents.
Yeah, I feel like that would be the first step in kind of establishing us as best friends forever. Which inevitably
will happen.
The awkward
selfie. Yeah, that's really how you know,
Johnny doesn't do anything awkwardly. Neither do I, obviously.
Oh, yeah, super smooth. Smooth.
On Twitter, you can get a hold of me at JordanHall23.
If you want to set up an appointment for a photo.
Yeah, I take a photo with you, not you, the indefinite you of the listeners, obviously. Eric is at Comeric Eric, and the show is at Podcastianos. If you want to follow me on the gram, I am at Jordinho4, Facebook.com/Podcastianos. And we love it if you take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on. We have a review. Now, I told you guys in the past, if you leave us a review, take a screenshot of it, send it to us, and we'll read it out. And you can be famous in the relative confines of this show. The review comes from KC286496. Not great with numbers. The title is Must Listen for Tigers Fans. Are you ready, Eric?
Braced for impact.
This is what he has to say. It was 5 stars. I thought these guys were going to be clowns, but they ended up sounding very professional and are absolute Tigers.
I mean,
junkies.
Why would they presuppose we would be clowns?
I actually don't really have an issue with that. I mean, that feels pretty straightforward. Yeah. They'll make you laugh without pretending to be a comedy show, and you'll get your Tigers knowledge and then some. Which
heavy on the then some. Sorry, friends.
So thank you, Casey, and a host of numbers for listening and for leaving us a review. Leave us a review. It helps. So that would be nice. And like we said, bracket challenge, join our bracket group. Winner gets what? Five assorted
10.
Oh, wow. 10. Just giving them away.
Yeah. I don't plan on losing though. So,
all right, let's get into the show. We've spent too much time on this nonsense.
I'm Blaine Hardy and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
So we are under 3 weeks away from opening day. Are you starting to buzz a little bit?
I kind of am. We've had 2 days now in a row where the games have been on Fox Sports Detroit. We have actual televised games. You know, we had the Nationals on TV today. I watched the last couple innings. That was very exciting to see them on TV. But the game itself is not exciting because nobody cares. I mean, they're trying a little bit of the end game. The bases were loaded. They swapped pitchers. You know, they made some nominal effort, but not a whole lot of passion there to win the game.
Yeah, I feel like the shininess of just baseball being back is kind of off. Like, I'm sick of seeing Zach Renninger's name in the box score. Like, it's just not doing it for me anymore.
He pitched today. Yep.
Yeah, let's move on to some real names. You know, like Johnny Barbato. That's what I'm looking for.
Let's get to the beef.
So the big story at this point is we pretty much have a rotation set with Gardenhire saying that Liriano will be starting. I have to admit this came as a little bit of a surprise to me, at least timing-wise. What was your reaction to Norris missing out on the rotation, at least to start the year?
Do you think that's cemented, that Norris is on the outs?
I mean, somebody... You know, in my opinion, Boyd has clearly earned the starting gig more than he has. And Boyd's been starting in not to say that that is, you know, the end all be all, but he's the one putting in extra innings. He looked great today.
And Fires is getting paid the bigger check. So he's got to be in. And Zimmerman. So it's got to be Norris.
Yeah.
So that means just to extrapolate a lot of steps here, because that's what we're doing. So if we assume Liriano's in, you surmise that Norris is out. The decision tree goes one of two ways. What do you do with Norris? Do you place him in the bullpen or do you, he's got an option.
Yeah.
Start him out in Toledo. What do you prefer?
Yeah. There's certainly, you know, strong sides to both. If he stays in the bullpen, he's going to face big league hitters. He's going to have Bosio, you know, sculpting him for the next, you know, until he comes back, but you know, inevitably he's gonna start again. Like he's too much of a talent to, at what, 23, 24, 25, whatever he is, say, you know what, scrap it, let's just move him to the pen and see what we can salvage. If he goes down, you know, he'll stay stretched out.
But if he's too much of a talent to be put in the bullpen or be sending to Toledo, why aren't you starting him now for the big league club?
No, I don't think he's too much of a talent to send down or to use out of the bullpen. I think he's too much of a talent long term to just give up on the idea right now. And I'm not saying if he goes to the bullpen now that they're just, you know, he's done as a starter, but I mean, it has worked in the past, but you also can screw guys up, you know, taking them in and out of the rotation. But, you know, it's not like he's lit the world on fire so far. But here's the thing. I was thinking about it. Liriano, hopefully, you know, if all goes to plan, will be traded at some point. You know, starts the reason we signed him was to try and get a haul for him at the deadline.
True.
You know, if all goes to plan, that will happen. And Zimmerman is not going to make 30 starts. Starts will become available for Norris probably in the semi-near future. I guess I would prefer to start him down in Toledo. I mean, I don't know what there's left to learn for him down there. I don't know that he's going to have much mental hurdles to climb there. And that's the one thing holding him back. But I don't know that putting him in the bullpen serves a ton of purpose either.
Yeah, given those two not great options, I guess it wouldn't hurt my feelings too much to have him start in Toledo and then have him ready to go at the slightest sign of weakness or need.
Truly, what would make the most sense is to use a six-man rotation. I mean, you would lose a bullpen spot like that, but you know, then you save the bullets in Fulmer's arm. You do the same with Boyd, and you're still getting Norris some you know major league reps as a starter. I mean, clearly they're not going to do that, but I think there is some validity to that. So like I said, the rotation is now kind of set. So you look, you have Fulmer, I'm assuming game one, then some combination of Boyd, Fires, Zimmerman, and Liriano.
So I had a question for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
I know pitcher wins are a very crude stat.
Extremely.
They're very crude. But let's go with it, just because it's a nice shorthand. I assume you would predict that Fulmer would have the most wins for the ball club this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Who's number two?
I would go with Boyd at this point. I think him and Fires are probably going to make between 30 and 36. What's a full load? About 36 starts. I don't see either of them missing too awfully many starts. They're both relatively durable. And you know, clearly Boyd is the more talented of the two. So I guess I would go with that. Just simply, he's probably going to outlast everyone else in the rotation.
He did show some really good flashes last year. What was that game where he had a no hitter into the eighth inning?
It was deep. Yeah. It was down.
Yeah,
it was
after I had dogged him for like 3 weeks, I was dogging Boyd, and then he just started turning it around and crushing it.
Yeah, I feel like we all still kind of have that mindset. Like he wasn't the throw-in of the Norris deal, but Norris was like that one prize, and he was kind of like, you know, they sent us their Zach Minor, and it happened to be him. There is a little bit more stuff there than him having been just a throw-in guy. And I could see 10 wins for him this year, which on this team could be halfway decent.
That if he gets 10 wins, that'd be exceptional. I have Fulmer one. I'm going to say Zimmerman two.
Okay.
Zimmerman two. I think he can do it. Boyd three. Liriano. Then Norris. Then Farmer maybe. And then Fires.
No love for Fires.
I have like no confidence in Fires.
Wow.
He's been sliding like the last 3 years. And I don't know. I'm not on fire for Fires.
Oh, good one.
Not a believer.
Well, we're four shows into the year before you drop that one.
That was hot, wasn't it?
That was hot. No, so like I said, we've been at two Tigers games. I watched Zimmerman warm up in the bullpen, and it was the least impressive, you know, underwhelming bullpen session I've ever watched in my entire life. He was getting some late movement on some of his pitches, but I'm like, man,
he was phoning it in, was he?
No, he has such kind of humdrum stuff. I mean, it just, you know, I've watched, you know, later in the game, we watched Joe and Barbato warm up, and we're like, okay, that's a little bit different. I don't know. Zimmerman is, he's so, and then he went out onto the game mound and gave up two home runs over the boardwalk in Bradenton. I don't know. Okay. I'm out on Zimmerman.
All right. And, talking and, me into it. I
and,
don't know.
And
I
just, who knows how many starts he's going to make. I think that's my big thing with him.
Yeah. So I brought up this concept on Twitter, and I brought it up to you. I think since everybody kind of thinks that this season is not going to be a World Series or maybe even a playoff season, why don't we try the 3-3-3 rotation? Are you familiar with this at all?
I wasn't until I read the article you sent me. I find it interesting.
The idea is you have three pitchers pitch three innings every third day. Because we have all these kind of maybe starters and kind of starter, kind of bullpen, you know, long men type pieces. So how this would work is you'd have nine guys. So in our case, this would be Fulmer, Norris, Boyd, Liriano, Alex Wilson, Zimmerman, Buck Farmer, Fiers, and then one of either like Saupold or Verhagen or something like that. Then you'd have some situational guys. So if you need somebody to work some extra innings or one guy is scuffling or whatever, then you have Stump, Jimenez, and Green as kind of your situational guys. The beauty of this is no pitcher ever faces the third time through the lineup, which is an instant improvement just based on, you know, the statistical analysis of such things.
Yeah.
The downside is it's completely new. And you'd have to have your whole organization and a good set of pitchers who are used to working, you know, to that number of batters to basically three times three innings. So getting nine outs every 3 days.
Yeah.
And you need some backups guys willing to do that. Now, it seems kind of silly now. But it used to be regarded as completely silly to have your third baseman play short right field. And that's not too goofy these days.
No, it absolutely. I mean, it's genius. I mean, I have no doubt that the numbers would bear this out instantly as a success.
There's an article. I mean, this is not a new idea. This Dave Fleming wrote this back in 2009, and he backs it up with stats and numbers and so forth. But the times through the order are a big deal.
Big one.
And So
and you would save a lot of maybe not pitches, but certainly innings over the course of the season. Specifically,
you spread the workload more evenly.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you have guys only needing to throw three innings, some of your, you know, back end of the rotation starters are probably going to, their abilities are going to play up not having to face that rotation the third time. And, you know, clearly your starter, your, you know, high end guys like Fulmer would too. It's really interesting.
Oh, good. And they could, if they're cruising or whatever and feeling comfortable, you get that extra inning out of them. And that, you know, gives you a lot of flexibility and options for later in the game.
Yeah, it's really interesting because clearly Gardenhire would never do that. He's too much of a traditionalist.
No.
But I think the right manager, it's kind of like I listened to a podcast about it. I don't remember which one it was, but the idea of kind of breaking from the norms, like statistically, granny shot in free throws is supposed to play out better than, you know, doing overhand, but nobody will do it because you'll look silly. Like, people would rather fail doing things the normal way than look silly.
Yep.
And it's going to take somebody like, say, a Billy Bean, you know, obviously not, you know, of a manager to get this going. But
it is interesting, like,
implemented.
We're heading in this direction.
Absolutely.
I mean, pitchers are working shorter starts. And there's a need for more long men to come in and pitch three innings and trustworthy long men. And then at the very end of it, you have guys like Andrew Miller who are pitching two innings at the very end of it, you know, or mixing it up. So it's a slow evolution, but we're kind of getting nudged in that direction. And the statistics. Pitcher wins, which we've already referenced, saves. Those statistics are no longer in vogue, and nobody is so preoccupied with that anymore. And you're getting more to the raw numbers about instead of the situational numbers.
And I think the Tommy John epidemic would stem a little bit from that. I mean, some of these guys.
Yeah, see, I don't know as much about that. I mean, is 3 days, you know, enough recovery? Is the every 5 days model better for arms and stuff? I have no idea about that.
I mean, it all comes down to pitch count and pitching with runners on base is far more draining on your arm and on your body than with. So it's, you know, how many stressful innings are you pitching? How many pitches are you throwing? But. You know, I didn't necessarily throw real hard when I pitched, so I'm not necessarily the best example. But you know, 3 innings every 3 days is certainly doable.
I just think it's a fascinating model, and you could interchange your pieces. You could swap them. You know, maybe one guy's more suited to starting the game, or depending on who they have on their bench, maybe you mix them in. It would just be really fascinating, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And it would be interesting, some guys, the way they, if they warm up better midway through the game, because your starter has a much longer routine getting ready. So maybe condensing that time. Honestly, I think that could be a help for Norris. You know, they've been using him out of the bullpen. I'm curious to see if condensing his get ready time would actually help him and not give him as much time to get in his own head. But anyway,
you know, poor Norris. I think he's got a reputation now for being a guy who's got issues between the ears. I think we should just say, yeah, he's a mental bulldog. He doesn't have any problems at all, and it's just going to be a self-fulfilling prophecy. That's what we need to start doing. You know, give him some confidence. Like, you're great.
Yeah. I mean, I love Norris. You know that. I really do hope he gets it figured out. So Jacoby Jones continues to be a story in camp. He's now batting .391. And more importantly, has only, I say only, but he has 5 strikeouts compared to 4 walks and 23 at-bats, which for him, that is kind of an only.
Yeah.
He also has 4 extra base hits and has been taking reps on the infield in the preparation of possibly being used in a utility role.
The thing I
was wondering is, like, how did someone just now think to themselves, okay, wait. Jacoby came up as a shortstop. We moved him to the outfield. Wait, he can play all the positions. Like, how did we just now get to that realization?
You know, I think they're just trying to specialize him and see how well his bat played and keeping him focused on his bat.
Yeah, that's probably true.
But he's getting a little older now, and so he's not going to be overwhelmed with camp and the process and all that stuff. So you can try some different things with him. I imagine that's the thinking.
Yeah, he has like 25 or 26 at this point.
Yeah. And if you don't imagine him as a stud corner outfielder, then you got to improvise a little bit on how you're going to get him on the field. But you touched on it, and the strikeouts, the plate discipline thing is a problem. So last year with the Tigers, he had 154 plate appearances. He batted .170. He had 9 walks to 65 strikeouts.
Just an incredible ratio.
And the problem is when he went to the minors, he hit a little better. He hit .245, but he had 33 walks to 104 strikeouts. So it's all he's got some pop, right? He's got power. He hit 3 home runs with the Tigers last year. I think he can muscle the ball, but he's got to tip that ratio somehow.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is I don't know what it would take for me to buy back in on Jacoby. I see all of the spring training stuff and I think to myself,
he's toolsy.
Yeah,
right?
But he was terrible last year. You know what? Yeah, that's exactly right. Like, there is all the reason in the world to think, yeah, maybe this is the time.
Size snake. I mean, he really is the perfect size snake with Mikey. He's got speed. He's got power.
I guess maybe we should just buy in. Maybe this is the turning point for him. I mean, like we said, he is the right age to kind of figure it out.
Plate discipline comes later with experience, maybe.
Yeah,
big men in basketball, you know, they're developed late.
Yeah.
Isn't that the same?
I mean, I would say at this point he has to be near a lock to make the club.
Do you think so?
I mean, somebody has to play that Romine replacement role. It's between him and Nico, and quite frankly, I think there's a halfway decent chance they keep both of them.
Rodriguez?
Ronnie hasn't been good. Amarista's been terrible. Pete Cosma is terrible.
Cosma, I don't know. Not feeling Cosma.
No, I mean, no. That was a long shot. I mean, who else do we have to keep on our bench?
Jim Medusi.
I mean, he kind of came in as a long shot, but he's a viable candidate at this point. He's
juicy, juicy man.
All he does is hit. He barrels the ball more than just about anyone else we have. I kind of think that he's going to actually make the club at this point.
You know who else has been exciting,
who?
Especially today too? Hicks.
Yeah.
Our boy Hicks. He's like more. I think he's a very good backup. I think he's going to be a good backup catcher.
Yeah, and quite frankly, I think he would be possibly a better starting catcher than our starting catcher, but we'll find out. I mean, I don't think McCann is that much higher in Gardenhire's pecking order than Hicks is. I mean, if one's hitting and the other isn't, he'll make this switch.
But we will, friends, be sure to break down the minutia of every roster spot in upcoming podcasts. Can we promise the listeners that?
We most certainly will. There's
you
no
will know
that.
Who the fifth infield, who the fifth outfielder is. You will know that last bench spot or the last bullpen spot when it comes up. You can trust us for that kind of analysis.
Absolutely. One more thing before we leave the outfield genre. Victor Reyes is bad, and that probably was a bit of a mistake.
Yeah, he hasn't shown a lot.
No,
he's gonna get shuttled back, isn't he?
Yeah, I would assume so.
Or maybe they throw him some cash considerations.
The thing is he looks like a ball player. Like you see him walk into the box, and you're like, oh, that dude can play. And then he swings a bat, and you're like, oh, that dude can't play. It's just
we're not selling jeans here.
No,
we're not selling jeans in the.
It's just not a baseball looking swing because he had he showed no extra
swing.
I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a tennis swing, but he showed no extra base power last year in the minors for the Diamondbacks.
Nope.
And you see him and you're like, that dude should have some pop. How does he not have any pop? And it's because his swing sucks. Hashtag analysis.
That is the most to the point analysis I've ever heard. His swing sucks.
Okay, so I have a few observations from the two games that I went to. Can I get into those?
Do tell.
Okay, so as you know, I like to spend time behind the bullpen because I'm a pitching junkie, so I like to watch the pitchers. First game, we saw the Tigers up in Lakeland against the Marlins. One thing that really struck me is, so Boyd started, you know, he did his warm-up pitches, and then you know, they play the national anthem and he's ready to go on the field. Every single person in the bullpen stood up. They all high five, slapped hands on his way out, which I've seen in the past. Like that wasn't the case last year before. So I'm assuming
for a spring training game.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's
a thing now.
A Bazio implementation. Like the bullpen demeanor felt more upbeat than maybe I've ever seen it. It was, I mean, that was at home, and there was, you know, a billion guys in there. They were all, you know, kind of chumming it up. But I don't know. Last year was such a dour year, and people were so pissy. And maybe that was just us. I don't know. I mean, Kinsler too, but. It was nice to see, like, kind of everyone was on the same page as much as everyone can be out in the bullpen. I don't know. I thought that was interesting.
Good observation.
Shane Green, oh, my gosh, that stuff. When he warmed up, I think he threw directly after Boyd. When he warmed up, he had every single person in that bullpen's attention. Like, they were watching him like a hawk. And, I mean, that stuff is just so nasty.
Do you think if he has a tremendous year, would we trade him?
I think so. I don't see why not. I mean, if you can get a Candelario / Isaac Paredes return for him, I mean, and not saying that you will be able to or that, you know, it'll turn out that well, but I would take that.
He could be very exciting.
Yes.
Speaking of excited, do you happen to see Joe Jimenez at all?
Yes. Saw Joe. The second game up in Bradenton, the bullpen.
Should we be excited about him?
Yes, I think so. I don't necessarily think that he's finished, but he's a lot more finished than he was last year.
Finished meaning not done with the game, meaning polished.
Right. Yes. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely not finished that kind of way. Right. You could see in his delivery, like when he was coming over the top, and it's kind of more of like a three-quarter delivery. You could see watching.
I want our listeners to know that you are pantomiming the motion while you talk.
Yes,
and it's a lot of gesticulation.
Even from the right side. I mean, I'm a lefty, so I'm mimicking him. But he
it's quality
when he finishes his delivery, as opposed to just kind of like almost flicking it up there. Mm-hmm. The pitches do what he wants them to do. When he doesn't finish them, and almost kind of like stop short, that's when you know the catchers are moving and whatnot. I feel like he just needs to stay through, finish the pitch, and go all the way to the catcher. And when he does that, I mean, the stuff is nasty. It's, you know, hard, and the slider's nasty. Mm-hmm. I do think that he's much, much closer now than he was 12 months ago. And, you know, that's a credit to him.
I think what we need to do is open up his skull, remove his brain. Open up Daniel Norris's skull, remove his brain, splice them in half, stitch them, combine two halves, stitch them back together, and reinsert them into their skull. Jimenez is all confidence and no introspection. And Norris is all introspection. And we need more Gronk-style golden retriever, I am better than you, suck my, you know, attitude. And just a happy medium for both guys, it would be perfect.
Yeah, I can't agree with that more.
Nobody loves reading his own press more than Joe Jimenez. He loves to be a stud pitcher.
Yeah, which, I mean, I never really had that opportunity. I imagine it probably would be pretty sweet.
It would be sweet.
So
that's what I'm saying.
Two quick stories. One is a Blaine story, obviously. So Blaine was down in the dugout. He had, you know, like the kind of paper cups that look like an ice cream cone that come to a point at the end. So
like you'd see in a golf course.
Yes, exactly. So he took a drink out of that and went to throw it in the garbage can. He was literally like, just, you know, drop it and it goes in the garbage can. He missed. And one of the bullpen, I don't know who it was. It might have been Sandy Baez was in the bullpen that day. He just looks at Blaine like, dude, how are you so unathletic? It was the funniest thing.
Now, to be fair, the cup is a abnormal shape, has, you know, tough aerodynamics.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I'm all about giving Blaine a pass. Yeah, next time Blaine will drain that.
If it was a cylindrical cup, it would have went in for sure.
So I was in my seat and I see what I think is Alex Fietto warming up in the bullpen, and I book it to watch him, obviously.
Yeah.
Get there, it's Kevin Comer. I was so pissed. I mean, it was not a short kind of half walk, half jog to get there.
If you're Kevin Comer's mom listening to this, I'm sorry for my co-host. We love Kevin. He's a great young man.
Name me one fact about Kevin Comer.
His mom listens to our podcast.
Apparently. So the other one, this is from the game in Bradenton. Victor Alcantara is in the bullpen. Now, everyone knows Vic. He's the guy that we coughed up Cameron Maben for, and everyone hates him. So he's in the bullpen. Actually, Kevin Comer features in this story, too. So Victor has a big rock and a little rock in his hand. Now, actual stones.
Okay.
He uses the little rock to try and carve the big rock to a point for the better part of the first three innings of the game.
Okay.
Like,
all right.
So he'll occasionally, like, you know, an out will go, people will clap, and he'll, like, look up and try and figure out, you know, what went on, then go right back down to trying to carve the thing to a point. At one point, Comer actually looked over at him like, dude, what in the world are you doing? And he, you know, just kind of turned back. And then at one point, Victor, like, looked to show what he had done to Comer. And Comer's just like, yeah, cool. I tried to get the rock at the end of the game, but nobody would throw it to me.
Have him sign it. That'd be amazing.
So,
although, I, you know, I'd give him a hard time, but, like, I can't ride one story up in an elevator without pulling my phone out and looking at it.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Like, and you don't have access to your phone in the bullpen.
Yeah, you're not allowed to look at your phone. What are you going to take out a Sudoku puzzle and start working on it? You literally just sit there day after day after day. I love baseball as much as anybody. But if I had to watch every spring training game, I think there'd be times where I'd just be like looking around or maybe carving a rock with another rock.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the Vic story.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Are you ready to move on to your beef of the week?
Beef of the week. Let's get right to it. I encountered recently an opportunity to obtain some gift cards. We had this charity auction, and you go around and you bid. And these gift cards are going for below face value. So if it was like a McDonald's gift card, it was $20 or whatever, people are bidding like $10, $12. And I have the opportunity to bid like, you know, help the auction out, bid even $18 or $20 for a $20 gift card. But here's the thing. I despise gift cards. I don't want to carry them around.
Okay, that's fair.
I don't want to have a fragment of money on a gift card.
That's fair,
and
too.
Then I have to go use them. When I have a gift card, I feel like I need to make extra efforts to visit that place so I can have the satisfaction of throwing away the gift card.
That is a good feeling.
Yeah, so what does this all add up to? Gift cards are stupid. I hate them. Like, especially if you're a gift giver, like, don't give somebody a gift card. It's lazy. They'd much rather have cash. They'd rather have the money. Just write them a check.
You know what I realized? I've given you one gift in my life, and it was gift card.
To be fair, that didn't last very long because it was a Founders gift card.
No, it was the crack fries.
Hopcat.
Hopcat, yeah.
Oh, Hopcat. If it's beer related, it goes pretty fast. But like, I have this stack in my wallet, like, and it was like giving me nerve damage up my leg because I'm fat wallet George Costanza. That's the one Seinfeld reference I noticed.
That's a good one.
And I had to stop carrying my fat wallet because it had all these gift cards in because it was causing me health problems. So now I just got my little wallet. And how am I going to use the gift cards? I can't carry 15 gift cards with me.
It sounds like you have family Christmas taken care of. Just go up in there and make it rain gift cards on everybody.
What are you re-gifting a gift card?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have to be full. They go in there thinking it's 25 and they got 817 on it.
Just write 100 on it with a Sharpie.
You were like generous this year, Eric.
Man, that's another thing. You never know how much is on that thing. You don't have a swiper at home.
No.
I mean, what are you doing? You're writing a little receipt and wrapping it up every time.
Yeah, that's tacky.
You can't do that. You don't have a Sharpie with you. You never know how much is on those stupid things.
I bet Garden Hire has a Sharpie on him at all times. You never know when you need to fill out a lineup card.
That's probably true. Anyway, I'm just fatigued with gift cards. And to make matters worse, some companies, if you get a gift card, they like start deducting, right? Oh, you have to use it within like 2 years or whatever. Oh, otherwise we're going to, you know, siphon some off the top. Companies make bank on gift cards. You know why?
Because
people don't use them. They lose them. They throw them away. Oh, there's 75 cents left on it. Pitch it. And they get all, you know, the company's laughing all the way to the bank. They got all the money up front. Time value of money. Learn that in college.
Here's a free tip for all the listeners out there. If you have any Sears or Toys R Us gift cards, you might want to get on using those ones.
That's another point. They get all their money up front, go bankrupt, double middle fingers to the consumers. I hate gift cards so much. That's it. That's the beef of the week.
You're such an old man. All right.
Cash is good anywhere. It's fungible. You know, you put it in the account, you take out what you need. It's cash. It's real money.
Give me a definition on fungible. I've never heard that before.
Fungible?
Yeah.
Like, you actually hear in baseball a lot, like, oh, that bullpen reliever is fungible.
I dispute the use of the word a lot in this context. I feel I watch a lot of baseball, and I've never heard
everybody
that.
Everybody tweet Hall and tell them you've heard fungible all the time. It's, like, easily replaceable.
Okay. All right.
My buddy Tokars has my back on this.
So you do fungible have, you do have a friend. Word. Okay.
Hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
All right, let's move on to crap that I saw on the side of the road while running. This one I thought of you on specifically. I was out running. I'm down here in Florida right now. And as you know, Florida is a weird, weird state. Like, nothing should surprise you down here. Like, all kinds of weird crap happens. So I was running on the side of the road, or obviously on the side of the road. It's kind of a fairly busy highway. And on the inside of one of the guardrails is a old, like, half rusted out, like, falling apart grill.
And that reminded you of me.
No, I see you as a grill guy. That doesn't feel unreasonable. So I see this grill and it's on the inside. And I'm like, ugh, who just decides I need to get rid of this thing? Side of the road. That's the best option. But then I'm running down the road. I run about 9 miles. So I go 4.5 and then come back. On the way back, it's gone. Somebody thought, you know what? This rusted out, half, you know, falling apart grill on the side of the road. I could use that. Like, if that was in my possession, it would add to my life. Let's make the effort to take this thing home, which, you know, it's in Florida, so it doesn't super surprise me. But in another way, it actually really surprises me because why? So if that was you, actually, if you could write into the show, that'd be great. I'd love to know what you did with this grill.
So we have big Steve stories. I'll tell you a story about my dad.
Yes.
He has a grill, the actual grill. It's round, the grate part of the grill. And he loves it, and it's for a Weber kettle style grill, you know, just like a charcoal one. He's gone through, I think, three Weber kettle bodies, but he's kept the same grate, the same grill. So maybe somebody saw it and said, that's a high quality grill.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, maybe there's something to that. I don't know.
Or, you know what? Maybe it just bounced out of somebody's truck.
No, it was like between the rails. Like, on the inside. There's no way that it could have bounced out of someone's truck.
You think somebody did a drive-by grilling disposal?
Yes.
Threw it.
I'm good with that. That picture in my mind, actually, that
must
makes
not
the
have
most
been,
sense.
Must not have been Zimmerman. It wouldn't have gotten that far. Oh!
Yikes.
Sorry,
All right.
Zimmer.
Let's move on to some Twitter questions. If you want to get in touch with us to be featured in this section, I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at ComericEric, and the show is at Podcastianos. So here are some of the questions. Our buddy Guido Knudsen asked us, over under on one preseason predictions I correctly made last year.
Yeah, I think it might have been under. Sorry, Guido.
Yeah, it's okay. We didn't do so hot either. Oh,
a lot of bad takes.
We got to get to our hot take show. What do we have? What, two more shows before the season starts? Sure.
We'll get there. We have time.
And this year, I'm going to write them down so I don't have to listen back to us feverishly the 3 hours before we wrap up the show like I did last year. At Larry Biscuit with a Z asks us,
I wonder if he's limp.
Did you guys get some KBS this year? How does it compare to previous years?
I did get some KBS, which is funny because there is a lot more of it. Founders is figuring out that this stuff could sell for a pretty penny, and they are just producing a ton more. So is it better or worse? I don't know if my palate is refined enough to tell you. Maybe it's just my my prejudice, but I think the older stuff is better than the new batch. But I will tell you, given the choice, I would rather have Backwoods Bastard than KBS.
Yeah, I definitely liked it before it became mainstream, and now that it's mainstream, I'm off it.
Mm.
Yeah.
you're the true hipster. Appreciate that.
At Tigers_opinions asks us, best way to take in a spring training game at the field, of course, going Thursday for the first time. So I'm not sure if this is a question or if he's just announcing that he's going to a game. Either way, congratulations.
Good for you.
Spring
Good
training
for you.
Is the best. I love it. But let's actually get into it. Best way to take in a spring training game. Some tips for a perfect spring training experience.
To me, it's about sitting on the berm. And me and my wife, we always laugh and we call it the brim, because there was a guy in front of us buying tickets at Disney. And he's like, yes, I would like 2 tickets for the brim, please. I'd like to sit on the brim. And we looked at each other like, really? So anyway, you guys sit on the berm, get lots of leg room. And you're near the bullpens. You can check that out. And you're just enjoying the ambiance of Florida without being packed into a seat, you know, next to a sweaty woman in a visor or something like that. I mean,
get yourself a drink.
I like a cold drink.
Like, I feel like game enjoyment when you have beverage is higher, yep. Especially down here. Yeah.
You get usually there's a nice breeze this kind of time in Florida. I mean, the sun is out, but not too intense. Sometimes they have the picnic tables out, and you can sit up there by the picnic table and just kind of peruse the game. If you happen to miss a couple batters because you're having conversation or whatever, that's fine. That's fine. They have a number that starts with, you know, 8. So it's fine.
And to be fair, if you're at a Tigers game in the regular season and you miss a couple batters because you're engaging with a fellow human being, that also is fine. So you might mix that in when you can.
We'll let you have an allowance for this year. Otherwise, it's back to it with your scorebook. All right.
And regardless of where you want to sit, buy the berm seats because there will be seats open.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's just a practical tip.
And you may want to consider the shade.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's a warm day, you're going for the shade.
Yeah.
Now, I have not been to New Joker Marchant, so I don't know if they added some more shade, but otherwise shade was a little hard to come by.
Yeah, the higher up you go, down the left field line, if I recall correctly, there's a little bit more shade now.
There.
I know not all of you have the Filipino sun-kissed skin like I do.
Stop it.
At David J. Ham asks us, best surprise for the Tigers this spring?
Best surprise?
Yep.
Jacoby, we talked about him a lot. Hicks, yeah.
I'd say no major injuries at this point is kind of a big surprise.
Right, Brian Garcia, I mean, had the Tommy John, but that happens. How about disappointment? Matuk?
Mikey, yeah. I mean, I'm not like you with J-Up level worried about him. I still think he's going to be fine. I mean, I don't know.
Reyes?
Nah.
Disappointing.
I was relatively convinced that that was
nobody,
how that was always going to go.
Really fired up about
no. Norris, I guess things haven't gone super smoothly for him. But yeah, I don't know.
That Reyes is kind of flaming out, though, I wish we would have got the kid from Minnesota.
Yes,
I forget his name.
Birdie.
Bert. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. Jeremy Troy asks us, why do we care about the lineup on a team that's going to lose 95 games? Also, isn't the point to field the worst possible lineup so we can get the first pick again? Next year, hashtag team tank. Now, I thought this was interesting because I feel like this is something that's going to come up more and more as we suck more and more. Might be something that we want to kind of get our heads around. Like,
why does it matter? you know?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, that.
Why
yeah.
does anything matter? You know, some days our bone is going to become ash and our soul is going to be sucked into the formless void of the nether. So what is this? This isn't nihilism time, all right? No, this is time where we're going to talk about baseball and trying to be good and the Tigers. If you want to get sucked into the void of nothingness, you know, go read some John Paul Sartre, or, you know, deconstruct, or go read some philosophy. This is the Tigers. We enjoy it. We argue about the lineup and about pitchers because it's fun and we like our team, Troya.
I think this is the third season? I think that's our first Sartre reference? I definitely had the under on that.
You know, I got to get some money on my liberal arts education. I need to get some value out of that thing somehow.
Here's the thing. If you want to root for us to tank and to get the number one pick, that's cool. I'm good with that. I'm going to root for us to be good until it has become apparent that there's nothing in this season. And then I'm going to still root for us to win. I can't root for us to lose. Like that's weird and I don't know. I might not actively root for us to win, but it feels like you're messing with something when you're rooting for us to lose.
And the thing is, for what? A draft pick?
Yeah.
In basketball, maybe you want, but in baseball, it's like,
yeah.
In football, certainly. It's in baseball, first of all, it's going to be 4 years before this guy gets to your club and makes an impact. And second of all, how the heck are you supposed to know? I mean, if you get a top three pick, chances are they're going to be pretty good. But they're, you know, anywhere top five, you don't know, and they're all about equal.
Yeah,
you know?
And look at this year. We have the number one pick, and nobody knows who the heck we're taking. There's no clear-cut shot.
Is the second overall pick worth so much more than the fourth or fifth pick? Come on.
Yeah, and I think we're going to be plenty bad on our own. We don't necessarily need to do anything extra to help that along.
And here's an interesting fact. Your desire and cheering makes no difference. You don't matter.
Anthony Troya asked us, Dixon hitting over 300 his last few games. Can't wait to sport that jersey. You order your Dixon jersey yet?
I should get right on that. Get some Dixon.
So I have a reverse Twitter question. I actually used our Twitter account to ask our buddy Joe Jimenez what his favorite soccer team is. Care to take a guess?
Barca.
Yeah, close. Real Madrid. Always knew he was a front runner. Really. Yeah. Come on, Joe. You're better than that. Somebody asked him what his favorite podcast was, kind of in
a follow-up joke.
Yeah, and he did not say ours. So there's that. I'm quite sure Joe would find our show amusing.
Yeah, who wouldn't?
Probably not.
Who wouldn't?
He did. He would hear his name a few times this week, and that's always a bonus.
Well, I talked about cutting his skull all open, so
yeah. Maybe this isn't the week, Joe. We try and get him to listen.
Yep.
Maybe that's what we should be playing for Victor in the bullpen.
The podcast. We're gonna take away your walk up music and, you know, play the show intro.
Okay. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, you can. On Twitter, I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at Comeric Eric, and the show is at Podcastianos. On Instagram, I am at Jordinho4, JORDINHO, and then the number 4. Facebook.com/Podcastianos. I really need to stop reading that one out because I don't post anything on there. Don't follow us on that.
Maybe. I'm just realizing you were talking about Victor the Rock Sharpener.
Yeah, of course.
It took me a minute.
Of course.
It's a little slow.
You shall forever be known now as Victor the Rock Sharpener.
The Rock Sharpener.
Just like Mikey the Perfect Size Snake. And we love it if you take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, and all that crap. And the Bracket Challenge. Bracket Challenge. Yeah, on ESPN, search for the podcast, Janos, in the groups. And you can play against us and Blaine Hardy and several other people. I'm kidding about Blaine. I don't think he'll be in the group. Eric, do you have anything else to say to the people before we get out of here for the week?
No.
All right. With that being said, we will catch you guys next week. And eat 'em up, Tigers. Eat 'em up.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.